back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I feel like a full muffin in my mouth.
Wait, so should we start over?
No. I like it like this.
This is gold. My wife is already complaining. Do I have to listen to this for the whole night? No, only for the next, 2.5 hours.
No, 1 hour. I got a heart out. I got a heart out at 9.
So, Akiva, here's the thing. There was no NFL play this week, apparently. Or at least the Vikings had a rare 2 week bye. So a few people have asked us when we are going to do our NBA preview. The NBA season, regular season, has literally just begun this minute as we are recording. Obviously, by the time you're listening to this, if anybody is listening to this, the season has started. The first few games are in the books. So we thought we would do our NBA preview now. And then apparently they did play football on Sunday, just the Vikings forgot about it. So we can do our NFL podcast tomorrow, maybe, or Thursday, later this week. But there's no Seinfeld podcast this week, so Akiva's going to do 232 Fans instead.
No promises, but we're doing this one. That we can guarantee.
We are doing this right now. That is correct. All right, so Akiva, tell me how you want to do this. It goes without saying I've ranked the top 200 players in the NBA. It also goes without saying that I have predicted every single game this season in the NBA, so I have totals, predicted records for every team. We could go through and, we can go through that way, over-unders, if we just want to completely copy Bill Simmons and everything he does.
No, I want to, how about we do your power rankings 30-1, and we'll talk about each team.
Okay. By the way, I should say to update some of our bets. So a couple of weeks ago, I had made two ridiculous bets. One of them, I took the Cubs and you took the field to win the World Series. That one's looking pretty good for me. The same day, I bet that Tom Brady would have over 3.5 touchdowns in his opening game of the season against the Browns.
Mm-hmm. And that worked out.
Yeah, that was obviously a bit of a overpromising. He did have 400 yards in that game, but he only had 3 touchdowns. So you won that bet. If the Cubs win the World Series, we break even. But last week we made a $50 bet on the winner of the Jets game against the Baltimore Ravens.
No, you said you wouldn't make that bet.
No, I would. You mocked because you said you'd be willing to bet your life for not $50. You cowed me into it.
Are you sure you got to play that back? Are you sure you actually agreed to it?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I am. We can go to the tape, or we can ask our listeners to go review the tape from last week.
Yeah, they really needed Gino to get hurt, but let's talk basketball for now.
Okay, Akiva. So I don't have the NBA teams in order of power rankings, but I have them in order from wins to losses because, as I said, I have predicted every game of the season.
Oh,
so we can
God.
Do it in that order.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool guy. Okay. That's fine.
All right, and then what's our bet going to be? If are we not doing over-unders? What's our big NBA preseason bet going to be?
I think we'll try and figure it out on the way. If not, we'll do some sort of playoffs. We'll predict the playoffs in some kind, unless we can find a better bet along the way.
I mean, I like over-unders. We both did really well on our baseball over-unders that we did in March.
Yeah, so. We don't have to copy everything about Simmons. Let's not just do over-unders.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Also, it's really not interesting whether an NBA team wins 25 or 35 games to me.
Well, because you're
a snob. Yeah, I'm a snob.
Well, you're not really a basketball fan. You only care about the Spurs in the playoffs, basically.
No, I care. I love the NBA. What are you talking about?
Not really. I asked you about. I was talking about a Spurs game in the first round last year, and you said, "I don't watch the first round of the playoffs."
I don't watch the first quarter of the first round of the playoffs. I watch the second.
No, you told me you weren't watching the Spurs first round games because you just take you only care about the winning titles and that.
Well,
that
was an annihilation. There was nothing to watch.
Yeah, well, I'm a regular season NBA fan. That's really all I have. So, all right, fine. So we will go in order of my predictions of wins and losses for each team. We'll cool. do it like you want. So are we starting at the bottom or are we starting at the top?
30, obviously. You don't count from 1 to 30. Nobody's sticking around to hear what we say about the Nets.
Why do you think the Nets are number 30?
Whatever. It's just, they could be 28. It's just an
example. No, you are correct.
They're favored in 4 games, supposedly, as of now.
So then I have them, maybe I should bet the money line on them or at least the spread on every game because I have them winning 16 games.
Right. I'm going to try something. I'm going to say the starting lineup for every team.
Okay.
Maybe the sixth man. So their starting lineup projected is Jeremy Lin, Randy Foy, Steen's favorite player, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Trevor Booker, and Brooke Lopez. They did make one nice. They have Scola off the bench, which a lot of.
Yeah, so I don't know. I assume they're starting Bogdan Bojanovic.
Yeah, so even if they're starting if they're starting him, actually, that would mean that they actually have an above-average bench with Scola and Grievous Vasquez. And
first of all, though, Scola's done. Their bench is terrible. I don't know what you're talking about.
And they well, compared to, the other bad teams. And they have Anthony Bennett's corpse.
Yeah, they're a bad team, obviously.
There's really nothing to say. I mean, if Lopez goes down, this team could lose.
Wait, hold on. Were we talking about the Nets? Oh, I screwed up. I have the Nets. I don't have the Nets as my fewest wins, actually.
Oh, we're already... Where do you have the Nets?
Okay, I do have the Nets. Here was my comments for the Nets. I cannot imagine a scenario where I will ever watch a Nets game, other than when the Timberwolves play them on November 8th, and I will be at that game. I have the Nets winning 18 games, but I have the Sixers winning only 16 games.
All right, well, let's finish the Nets, and then we'll go to 29 and 30 since you messed up.
Yeah, we've spent enough time talking about the Nets.
But, after Lopez, like, your second best player is Jeremy Lin, your third best player is, like, Bogdanovich. Like, team is horrible.
There's nothing to say. Good. The Sixers are next. You know, we're prevented by all these injuries from seeing the hilarity of them trying to play Okafor and Nerlens and Simmons and Embiid and Dario Saric, by the way. You know, they have like five basically first year or second year big men. But still, even I guess we assume even a year after the process is officially over, they're going to sit Simmons out the whole year and tank the whole season, right? That's why I only have him winning 16 games.
No, Simmons is going to come back. He'll be back by the All-Star break, I think, if not a little sooner.
Well, they say he's out for 3 months, so why would they bring him back in March? For what reason? At that point, they're just...
No, give him some reps so he's ready to go next year and be, like, a decent player. It's weird, like, Gerald Henderson is a weird guy to have on this team. Just play all kids, like... I'm not a Robert Covington fan. I don't know if there are a lot of Robert Covington fans. Like, so, you know, Saric, Embiid, and Okafor, the only guys that matter with Noel and Simmons out. Yeah. They have Stauskas. This team is a disaster. Projected starting five, Rodriguez, Henderson, Covington, Saric, Embiid.
Where are you getting your lineups from? Because I have different lineups.
ESPN, you think that's wrong?
Oh, well, I have my own projected lineups. So okay. ESPN probably knows more than I do.
No, it could be wrong. But, those are five guys on their team. And that team is horrible and like almost as unwatchable. Like you want to watch Embiid for a game or two, but he's only going to be able to play like 20 minutes, I think.
Yeah. So. No, we'll come back. If Simmons is playing, we'll come back to the team in March to see what's going on.
Well, we won't, but
that's true.
Maybe the collective. So who's number 28?
All right. So I have two teams winning 18 games, the aforementioned Brooklyn Nets and then the Phoenix Suns. To me, they are in the race for worst team in the league. They're certainly in the race with the Lakers for worst team in the West. The difference, like if you compare them to the Lakers for a second, is like whereas the Lakers at least have some interesting guys, the Suns have nothing. Like, all right, Devin Booker, Eric Bledsoe, even Brandon Knight, they have three decent guys in the backcourt, but the rest of this team is god-awful. It's like franchise malpractice what they did when they turned like Jeff Hornacek's team that won 48 games into this dreck. I have this team winning 18 games. They're over or under is 26.5, which is pretty high. To me, that's a lock.
I don't think they could get there. I mean, at full strength, a backcourt of Bledsoe, Booker, and Knight is probably above average.
Yeah.
But there's just nothing at forward. I mean,
who's their best player in the frontcourt? I guess the corpse of Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler. But after that, P.J. Tucker played okay last year. Or two
Alex
years
Len
ago.
Has been a complete waste.
Yeah, Dragan Bender's not even close to ready. Guy couldn't even... Yeah. Make the bench for Maccabi Tel Aviv last year.
So that's team garbage. And then the fourth of the truly terrible teams, obviously, is the Lakers. Obviously, it's a tremendous joy to watch the Lakers be terrible.
Yeah, but the Lakers are much more talented than the other three teams we just talked about.
Yeah, well, so I have them winning 19 games. Here's the thing. First of all, the amount they gave Mozgov is hilarious. They overpaid Deng, which doesn't really make sense for an aging, for a young team, what they did.
They gave a bananas contract to Yi Jianlan, but luckily he quit.
Yeah. but the thing is, at least there's, you want to see what's D'Angelo Russell going to do? What's Brandon Ingram going to do? Is Julius Randle going to be, a decent power forward? So there's actually, there's something to watch here, which is not really true for the other teams we've mentioned.
No, this is an interesting team. This is definitely a watchable team. Deng is in a weird spot, similar to Gerald Henderson on the Sixers. He's like the one.
He turned on the Timberwolves to join this garbage. So you know what, I sign on to all the things that a Danny Ferry said about him.
Yeah, but Russell might put up big numbers. Like Clarkson is serviceable. Julius Randle, I think he's never really going to get there, but he's going to get the ball a lot here. Mozgov is going to be insane. Mozgov is going to be back and like playing for like CSKA Moscow by February. He's going to be horrible.
I mean, he couldn't get off the bench in the playoffs. So whatever, that trade made no sense. And also the funny thing is that they hate, they hated Roy Hibbert, but Mozgov is not exactly more nimble on his feet than Roy Hibbert.
Right. He is. He, at this point, Hibbert is so done and Mozgov is a little better than that. But this team has Nick Young and Meta World Peace on its bench still.
Yeah, let's stop talking about them.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So the fifth, now we take a big jump up. Those are the four.
Can you count backwards and say 26?
Okay. So 30, 29, 20, 26. Okay. So the 26th team.
You like counting on your fingers?
Well, because I don't have it written down that way. I have standings. So the 13th team in the West.
Like intuit what's like we're only up to 26. By like 17, I understand you might.
All right. The 26th team in my preseason standings predictions, the Sacramento Kings, I have them going 28-54. Last year, they won 33. They lost Rondo. His replacement starting lineup is Darren Collison, who's already suspended the first 8 games of the year for domestic battery. And you also, there's always the risk of like a complete franchise explosion, Boogie demanding a trade. So, you know, I give them 28 wins, which is safely under their over under. And I think that it's more likely that they win 20 than they win 40.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they could somehow trade Cousins and win like 12. Yeah. That's very possible. I mean, this team is, they didn't do anything like Cauley Stein, Gay. They're still there. McLemore, I think at this point, you know, we're writing off. I like Aflalo, but not on this team. You know, he's like a right now, like a good seventh or eighth piece on a contending type team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're starting Ty Lawson, who shouldn't be in the NBA anymore.
No, they're not. First 11. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the first 11 games of the year. Until Collison comes back. Yeah, they're starting Ty Lawson. I missed like two flights, I think, in the preseason.
Yeah. I guess they have to. They don't have a choice. Nope. All right. So, yeah. So that's a terrible team. Number 25, the Orlando Magic. They've taken a real downfall the last couple of years. This, and we'll talk about this. This is part of the tragedy of Kevin Durant, because I absolutely loved the Serge Ibaka trade for Oklahoma City. I hated it for Orlando. It doesn't make any sense to me. They have so many pieces in the front court. I mean, now Aaron Gordon gets pushed to the bench, and like their starting backcourt is like Devin Marble and Elfrid Payton. Unless, I guess they might want to try and force Aaron Gordon to play the three and Fournier to the two, so they get some of their big guys.
No, I think that's what they're going to do: play Gordon and Fournier together at the wings.
All right. Well, Gordon is not a wing, so that's not going to work. They paid Bismack Biyombo an insane amount because he had a bunch of rebounds in a couple of playoff games. There's no scenario in which he can be on the court with Vucevic, who they're probably going to end up trading. Also,
yeah.
Again, their backcourt, Elfrid Payton, who Bill Simmons loved when he was a rookie, he's turned out to be a bum, basically. And name a guard on this team who you're excited about. I mean, Hezonja, Marble, they have no good guards.
Yeah, Payton is disappointing. I had him for fantasy last year, and he used to be one of these weird guys who would put up like 7.7 rebounds, 7 assists, but he couldn't even do that for most of last year.
Yeah.
Is your wife watching like TV really loud right behind you?
Yeah, what are you watching in the background, Jen? She's watching Shark Tank in the background. Can we at least put the World Series on, please? She said no.
Is this a rerun? Like, has she seen this episode of Shark Tank?
Oh, I'm sure it's a rerun. No, she doesn't watch new episodes.
Well, this is a season 8 premiere.
Okay, can you turn the volume down a little bit?
She should do a Shark Tank podcast.
Do you want to do a Shark Tank podcast with Akiva?
No. Can you please go into your bedroom and do this?
No, there's no internet there. You can watch Shark Tank in the bedroom. All right, okay. Next,
was she not like happy with me anymore? She was very happy with me at the wedding.
Oh, Akiva says you were very happy with him at the wedding.
Well, that's true. I do like him now.
She says that's true. I do like him now.
Oh, because she said that she would switch husbands. I told my wife,
would you switch
four times since. Like, when's that switch happening? My wife was like,
Akiva's wife wants to know when the switch is happening. It depends how much food you bring her. I guess you brought her food at the wedding.
Yeah, I could do that. I don't know how to cook, but I could like get you takeout.
He doesn't know how to cook, but he can get you takeout.
Okay, well, that's a start.
All right, that's a start, says. Okay, so the next team on my list, number 24, we're at, is that correct? The Denver Nuggets?
Yeah.
I have them exactly at their over-under. I know we said this summer on one of our podcasts. We had mentioned that Emmanuel Mudiay was literally the worst player in the NBA last year.
Yeah.
And obviously he's going to improve, but how much, I guess, is the question. Their backcourt is him and Gary Harris. So, although they have a lot of guards on the bench, they have Will Barton, Jameer Nelson, Jamal Murray. They're going to score a lot, but they can't play any defense. And, you know, I mean, seriously, look at who's playing defense for them. Fareed, Gallinari, these are all, like, you know, negative defenders in the front court.
Wait, Alexander, can we actually have a serious conversation? Can you please do this?
No, I cannot. It doesn't work there. And please don't interrupt me, because then it makes editing much harder.
And don't call him Alexander. It's creepy.
Okay. Akiva's got to go at 9. So stop, because you're interrupting us and preventing us from finishing. Okay. So any comments on the Nuggets?
Yeah. I mean, I actually kind of like the Jokic-Nurkic front court with Fareed, although obviously someone's getting dealt, right? Probably Fareed. It's a pretty typical Nugget.
Fareed's trade value is pretty low, though.
Yeah. it's a typical Nuggets team in that they have like 7 B pluses. Although you could argue, I guess, if Moody and you know Harris aren't even good, then maybe they don't even have 7 B pluses. Maybe they only have like 4.
Yeah. All right. So what do we have to do now? Number 23. Is that right?
All right. So every team we've discussed so far, there's zero chance of them making the playoffs, right?
Zero chance.
Yeah. All right. So let's see.
I get the Nuggets like 1%. But yeah, I think that's a good cutoff because the next team I have is the Miami Heat. This is a disaster. The Wade thing obviously was shocking. The Bosch thing is sad. The Tyler Johnson contract. I mean, I'm in the 99th percentile of having heard of NBA players. I had never heard of this guy, and he got $50 million.
No one had heard of him. It was insane.
Yeah. So this team, I mean, could they make the playoffs? I guess it's possible because the bottom of the East is bad. But I have them winning 35 games, and I think that's even generous.
I mean, clearly they're missing a piece. We know who the piece is, and he's not going to play. So, I mean, it's weird because they've made great moves. Justice Winslow is a great draft pick. Whiteside is the find of all time. And Dragic was basically they stole him. But there's just not, you know, there's really nothing else. Like, Derek Williams is fine, but he's like a good, like, you know, like stretch forward coming off the bench. He shouldn't be your starting power forward.
Yeah.
You know, McRoberts is washed up. There's just nobody else.
Yeah. It's just, you know, obviously they don't have any real fans except for Ari Gold, so nobody feels bad for them. But
I mean, Deion Waiters might throw up like 100 shots a few games this year, but this team might be. Is it possible that a team with Dragic, Whiteside, and Winslow, you know, and really smart management could swing like for a fourth good player and get the eighth seed in the East? It's possible.
Yeah, but I don't think Riley want to do that?
No, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
Unless like the player you swing for is like Boogie Cousins, there's no reason to go after that type of guy.
Yeah, I agree. No reason. All right. Okay. Next on my list, I have, we're up to number 22. I have the New Orleans Pelicans. I hate to say this, but I kind of feel like Anthony Davis is cursed at this point. The only thing that interests me about this team is I want to see if Buddy Hield can become, you know, what he looked like, at least in the NCAA tournament.
The second best guy on the team?
Well, they would hope that it's going to be Buddy Hield, right? Who is it actually? I guess Jrue Holiday when he comes back, but he's out to start the season. Yeah, Tyreke Evans, maybe.
Tyreke isn't starting. I don't think like the Lance Stevenson made the team. That's not a good sign. I mean, Anthony Davis is 23. You're silly, to write him off, obviously. But
I'm not writing him off. I feel bad. This team is awful. I'm sad when I think of him.
You almost like have to sit Davis out this year or like tank it on purpose to get another good player because Anthony Davis alone is not going to get you to the, you know, he's going to become the new Garnett except like injury prone.
Yeah.
But like a worse version because they're not even going to make the playoffs. Garnett at least had the decency to lose in the first round every year.
Thank you, Jackass. All right. So that's enough of the New Orleans Pelicans. Now we move up to 21, I believe. That's the New York Knicks. Another disaster. Noah's already injured. Derrick Rose is disgusting and will be injured soon anyways. The only guy on their bench is Brandon Jennings. And again, when Rose gets injured, he has to start and their bench is going to be just god awful. The Knicks spent a fortune to have a team that would have made the playoffs like 5 years ago, basically.
Yeah, like Willie Hernan Gomez is going to play serious minutes for this team. Kylo Quinn, who could barely play for like the abominable 2016 Knicks, is going to have to play a zillion minutes for the 2017 Knicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. This team is missing two wings to be like a real playoff team because if Anthony gets hurt, or if Porzingis gets hurt, this team is winning like 8 games.
Yeah, you know, there's a guy in my fantasy football league, Ari Diskin, who comes to the draft every year with a magazine from 5 years previous, and he drafts his entire team. It's basically who were Pro Bowlers 5 years before the current season.
Does he really bring an old magazine to the draft?
Not literally, but it seems that way because his team is always, sure. his whole team is Pro Bowlers from 5 years before.
Yeah.
And then every year, shockingly, his 34-year-old players get injured and then he complains about it. And then he names, and so his team name is the All Injury Team. Again, because he drafts, he doesn't draft anybody who's younger than 30. And that's basically the Knicks.
It's like, who is Phil Jackson heard of? I agree.
Yeah. All right, number 20. The Milwaukee Bucks, last year's preseason hype team, they ended up only winning 33. Now Giannis is the point guard, but they have like a massive hole at shooting guard with Middleton's injury. I guess Rashad Vaughn is going to get a chance. I don't know. I think they can compete for a playoff spot in the bottom of the East, but basically, I think the biggest question here is can Jabari Parker take a big step forward? Because he has not been what he was supposed to be.
No, and there's something wrong. Like, he's only 21 years old, so obviously he can get much, much better. But if he was, you know, LeBron James, we would have seen a glimpse of it already. You know, 14 and 5 is not acceptable for, you know, I mean, listen, he's shooting the ball okay. He can't shoot threes, but he's shooting the ball okay, but his rebounding is really unimpressive.
No, he was much better the last couple months of the year when they moved Giannis to point guard. So let's see what they do. But yeah, the Middleton injury really hurts him a lot.
This is not like a horribly constructed team at full strength with Giannis, Middleton, Jabari. You know, they have a bunch of pieces in the front court. Monroe, Henson, Teletovic.
Jason Kidd's a good coach, but he's not a good, you know, he should not be your GM. And apparently he's been having a lot of say in player acquisition.
They got Deli. There's that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. So is Giannis going to be officially the starting point guard, or are they going to start Deli at point guard?
I don't know. Giannis has eligibility in fantasy basketball at shooting guard, small forward, and power forward, and I assume he will get point guard eligibility in the first
season. Why not point guard? He was point guard the last, like, month of the year last year.
I'm not sure. You could call up Matthew Berry.
All right.
Actually, ESPN's, like, fantasy basketball page is really sad. They don't even have auction values. It's like
why is ESPN?
Why? I like ESPN better than Yahoo.
Yeah. For football also, no.
Yes, I like ESPN better for everything.
You're on crack. Okay.
Yahoo has, I'm not going to get, this is so, I mean,
everybody says Yahoo's the best for football.
No. Yahoo's draft is, I mean, you guys draft in person in your league, but Yahoo's draft is not usable. ESPN's draft is 1,000 times better. ESPN Yahoo's draft is still out of, like, stats.
Yeah. All right. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the number 19 team, which will shock people because everybody else in the universe is slurping this team like crazy, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
Everybody's taking the over on them. Look, I've been burned enough to avoid it for now. I think they're a year away. I hope I'm wrong, obviously. But I have them winning 40 games for now. And again,
this team is so much better than any team we've discussed so far.
Yeah. Well, Simmons and House both put them at a lock for 46 or 47 wins. Here's the thing with this team. Their starting lineup last year had the highest per 100 possession offense in the league, better than the Warriors' death lineup. But their defense was the worst in the league. Their defense was so terrible. So, look, obviously, you bring in Tibbs, the defense is going to get better instantly. But the West is also, there's a lot of teams to leapfrog. They got to leapfrog Dallas, Houston, Memphis, Utah. Like, there's a lot of teams they got to jump ahead of.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Pekovic thing isn't really being talked about, but that's a big deal. Because with Pekovic, he's out for the year. He would be relevant.
No, he's not. I haven't heard his name in like 3 years. No, he's not. He's not relevant at all to this team.
Well, he's out for the year, so this is not worth discussing more. But the point is,
if he was completely healthy, he wouldn't play 10 minutes a game for this team. They have Karl Anthony Towns at center. Excuse me. What do you need Pekovic for?
Well, Deng has never played more than like 19 minutes his whole career. Someone's got to back him up.
No, Gorgui Deng is their power. He's their starting power forward. They have Cole Aldrich and Jordan Hill as backups at center, who are both.
Cole Aldrich sucks.
I mean, Cole Aldrich was universally considered one of the best free agent signings of the offseason.
Oh my God. Maybe like if for White Guy Illustrated.
His PER is like 23.2. He is literally one of the top 10 people. Everybody loved that.
Oh my God.
Every smart NBA writer loved the Cole Aldrich signing.
I hope when the Spurs play the Wolves, you guys play Cole Aldrich 30 minutes.
No, he plays 15 minutes a game, but people were saying like his loss is like the biggest a negative for the Clippers this year. Like people really like Cole Aldrich.
What do you think about Chris Dunn?
So apparently now what they're saying is Tibbs is saying that by game 20, Chris Dunn will be ready to be the starting point guard, and at that point they might trade Rubio.
Can he shoot though?
He can't shoot, but neither can Rubio. But
right,
he's already elite defensively. They could play Dunn and Rubio, frankly, because Zach LaVine, who he'll pour 20 points a game in for you, but he can't play a lick of defense. I think the biggest question in terms of Tibbs is going to be Zach LaVine, because one of two things is going to happen. Either Zach LaVine is going to learn to play some modicum of defense and he's going to be like a borderline all-star type player, or Tibbs is going to get annoyed at his defense and he will never get off the bench.
Tibbs going to want to murder one of these guys. I mean, they have so many guys who don't play defense. Like, yes, they're going to be good just because of his system, like better than they should be as the sum of their parts. But there's some frustrating guys here to coach.
Yeah. Well, who? Just LaVine, really.
I mean, Rubio can be a little frustrating. What do you think about Shabazz Muhammad?
He's fine. He's a fine rotation piece, you know. whatever. He's the guy that they're really hoping a lot for coming off the bench is Bielica, who's going to be, you know, one of their backup bigs. But he's supposed to be a good 3-point shooter. Last year he was just like too nervous to shoot the ball. He'd be wide open. He'd just pass it off. They need him to be a three 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, he shot well in limited exposure.
Yeah, well, if he shoots 40% on threes, then he'll be a very helpful piece. Because Dang obviously doesn't have, he's not going to shoot threes.
Yes, any 6'10" guy who shoots 40% from three will be very helpful for any team.
Yeah, so I'm going to tentatively take the under here, but I hope I'm wrong. And I'm going to tentatively say they're not going to make the playoffs, but again, I hope I'm wrong.
No, I think they will. I think they will make the playoffs as the 8th seed.
Okay. All right, well, that's what we should be making bets here. Okay, now let's move on to number 18 then. Number 18, I have the Detroit Pistons. I'm very confused. This team won 44 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I saw like Sports Illustrated predicts them to be the number 4 seed in the East. Their over under is 34.5. What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And it's not like, nervous, like someone's going to get hurt or something. It's such like a balanced team. I mean, Jackson's already hurt. Boba's going to play big minutes. Watch.
Reggie Jackson's hurt. But, Andre Drummond last year looked like, the second coming of Moses Malone or something, at least in the first half of the year. His free throw shooting, obviously, a huge problem. Literally the worst in the history of the league. But, yeah, they're starting five. Once Reggie Jackson is healthy, and Ish Smith is a decent backup point guard, they really have no holes. They have a great coach. This is a team, I think, in the East that should be competing for 40-plus wins in a playoff spot.
No, I agree. They have big bodies. They have Boban, Baines, and Lauer. They have Stanley Johnson. Like, people really thought was going to break out last year. He didn't, but, he's a backup on this team. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Reggie, KCP, Morris, Tobias Harris, and Drummond is a legitimate NBA starting lineup.
Yeah, that's a good starting lineup, yeah. So, I don't understand why they're over-under 34.5. They won 44 last year. I think they'll win about that. I have them right now at 42 wins, a game out of the playoffs in the East. Mm-hmm. But any of these teams at the bottom are interchangeable.
Yeah, let's bet your kids' college fund on them and the over.
Yeah. Let's bet yours. But okay, let's move on to number 17. Then also with 42 wins, I predict the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know what the hell this team is doing. A year after they insanely overpaid Wes Matthews, they insanely overpaid Harrison Barnes. Like, they have enough pieces to compete for a playoff spot. But, like, what's the point? They have no chance of making the second round. They don't have a single player under 24 years old. So what are they doing?
I mean, Cuban has to know that, right? He's not dumb.
I don't know. Jen, is Mark Cuban an idiot? No. Analysis.
Watching Shark Tank.
She's watching Shark Tank, yeah. So I don't understand what he's doing. I have them at 42 wins in the 9 seed in the West. Let's say they win a couple more and they make the playoffs. Congratulations. You spent, $150 million on Wes Matthews and Harrison Barnes.
That being said, they have a good starting lineup. They just don't have a bench.
Yeah,
but they don't have like a sixth NBA player on their team besides their starting lineup.
What odds would I have to give you for you to bet that this team will make the second round of the playoffs?
Oh, it's
30-1.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So what's to what end are they doing this? Again, they don't have a single player under 24 years old. Like, they're stuck in purgatory. It really makes no sense.
I'm just telling you, Williams, Wes Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk, and Bogut is a really solid starting
player. What I have to assume is that Cuban has just decided that he's not going to make he saw what happened to like KG and he saw what happened to Kobe and he's decided I'm not going to let Dirk not make the playoffs before he retires. So he's just going to keep dragging this team to 42 wins. And then as soon as Dirk retires, then he'll blow it up and then he'll try and get rid of all these contracts. Because right now they're stuck in a situation where they won't win fewer than 35, but they won't win more than 45. So anyway. All right. So number 16 on my list, we're moving on up. The Charlotte Bobcats. Did I say Bobcats? Excuse me. The Charlotte Hornets. They were the hottest team in the second half last year, but nobody believes they can win 48 again, right?
You should bet the same college fund for one kid that you're betting Detroit's over, bet Charlotte's under. This is insane.
Oh, no. So the over-under is 39.5. I'm taking the over. I have them at 43 wins. But look, they get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist back, which is good. The Hibbert for Jefferson swap at center is not a huge downgrade. I mean, it's probably an upgrade defensively.
That's a wash. Hibbert is washed up.
But Jefferson was coming off the bench. Jefferson couldn't play last year either, even when he was healthy.
So it's really Jefferson to Cody Zeller is your main center.
Yeah, Cody Zeller is probably going to be their starting center.
Not probably. Hibbert is garbage.
Yeah, Hibbert's not good. He was bad for the Lakers, so...
And okay, this is another team with no real bench. I mean, Jeremy Lamb was okay in the Linen Lamb.
Here's the problem. We saw the absolute ceiling for Kemba Walker and Nick Batum. Like, they are not going to play better than they played last year.
I would agree.
So the only thing is, all right, they, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is back, and he's good. That's really the only thing you have to hang your hat on. if you want to see this team. Again, they won 48 games last year. They're not going to do that again.
Who's the best player on their bench? Marco Bellinelli? Frank Kaminsky? Like, it's there's a lot of teams in the East that have, like, five good players and don't have a sixth. It's crazy. The Knicks, the Pistons, the Knicks, the Hornets.
Yeah, so you think I'm too high on them with 43 wins?
I thought you were saying the number was higher, 39.5. I would guess they'd go under it, but there's just no real room for improvement anywhere. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Number 15, the Houston Rockets. Who knows what's happening in this team? First of all, the weird thing is, like, in their front court, so they lost Dwight Howard. They still haven't signed Mo Yunus, who was their starting power forward, would have been their starting power forward again. I guess that it's going to be Ryan Anderson, right?
Yeah, probably.
But he doesn't play a lick of defense. So you have him, you have James Harden. This team is going to be comically awful defensively. They will be better than last year because last year was the year from hell, I guess. But I don't see evidence that they're going to be much better.
No.
Like, I have them at 43 wins.
Yeah.
They're not going to get more than that.
I mean, if Harden misses like a month, you know, for some minor injury, they're going to be in the lottery.
Sure.
I mean, Eric Gordon, come on, is washed up. I'm not buying KJ McDaniels. You know, Ariza is past his prime. Ryan Anderson is like one of the worst defenders ever and didn't do anything last year. Obviously, he's, you know, coming back from some major issues.
Yeah, he'll score 18 points a game, but it'll be a pretty
empty. I like Ryan Anderson. And Capella just came out that they really wanted to play Capella over Dwight Howard last year, but the coach would not act yet.
Yeah. I mean, are they going to sign Mati Unis? By the way, Josh Smith, who was also on this team last year, he's also unsigned. So they have a couple of power forwards. I assume they're not bringing him back for sure. But they're going to try and bring Mati Unis back, I assume, right?
I'm not sure.
All right. Okay, so let's move on. That's number 15. Number 14, I have the Chicago Bulls. Their over-under is 38.5. That seems low to me. Like, even if Wade can't play more than 55 games, this is still a team that could win. I have them at 44 wins in the 7 seed, right? I mean, they have a lot of pieces. Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo. That's a good starting five.
Yeah.
And then they have Mirotic on the bench. They got Michael Carter-Williams from the Bucks, who, you know, can get a little bit of instant offense there. They have Doug McDermott, who at least can hit a couple open shots.
Yeah, Denzel Valentine, you know, fantastic college player. Yeah, this is a really good bench, especially for the East.
Yeah, so this is not a great team, but this is a team that should definitely be in the playoffs, and you should take the over at 38.5.
Oh, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. Yeah, I would take the over for sure.
Okay. All right, number 13, tied with the Bulls at 44 wins.
Have we discussed the team yet that could win a playoff series? I mean,
no.
Houston, like, Harden couldn't go crazy and beat, like, the Spurs or something in a playoff series? Probably could.
No?
Okay.
Well, I guess the thing is, if any of these teams weasel their way up to six, because the three seed, like, there's a big drop between two and three. But I would say no so far. Barring injuries or something dramatic, I'd say no.
Okay.
All right. Now I have the Washington Wizards. This is a team who could. You know, I have them as the sixth seed at 44 wins. They could beat Toronto in the first round, especially the way Toronto plays in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to see Wall and Beal play together for like 75 games.
Yeah, they hate each other.
I just don't like much on the rest of the team. You know, Markieff is like, you know, puts up better stats than he is a player. You know, Gortat's fine. I'm not an Otto Porter guy. You know, and the bench stinks. Jan Mahimny.
Well, Marcus Thornton, Trey Burke. They get some offense in the backcourt on the bench.
I'm not loving. Yeah, the truth is Burke was not a bad signing. He was languishing in Utah.
Yeah.
What's this team doing?
Well, they're not going past the second round, but
if this team is in the second round, then the East is garbage.
Well, they won 41 last year, and they were a big disappointment. So they're going to win a couple more. And again, if they are the sixth seed and they face Toronto in the first round, they're at least like a 42% chance to win that series. So
yeah, I mean, if Toronto can't beat this Washington team, then why even discuss the other 14 teams in the East?
All right, okay. Number 12, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, they won 42 last year and they just had, you know, more injuries than, I mean, they literally played 28 players, the most in NBA history. So they have to be better than 42, which is why I have them at 44. But on the other hand, it just feels like this group's run has ended, right? Like, you know, you've had the same guys here for about 5 years. Their ceiling was about 55, 56 wins, but they can never really, you know, get over the hump in the playoffs. It's Zebo's last season in Memphis. His last season as a star was at least two seasons ago. You know, their big move was they decided to upgrade the three spot with Chandler Parsons. But Chandler Parsons was a disappointment in Dallas. He was a disappointment in Houston. I don't know. This team is just really boring. There's nothing exciting about this team.
Well, Jermichael Green might be interesting. Randolph's not even going to start.
I think Jermichael Green is going to steal Zeebo's starting spot. But you saw Mike
Conley. He is starting.
Okay. Marc Gasol. It's the same guys. Whatever. Again, could this team win a playoff series? Probably not.
No, they can't win a playoff series.
They got to blow up and start over. They're like Dallas.
Or add a big piece somehow.
Yeah, but everybody's on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
Except for Parsons, I guess. And he's
another all-star on this team, they're winning playoff series.
All right, fine. Well,
I'm saying, like, if they're the team that's stealing a Cousins, or, you know, or let's say the Spurs tank and LaMarcus Aldridge is available.
Spurs are tanking now?
The Spurs, not like tank the way the Sixers tank, but there's already reports that Aldridge is upset that Kawhi Leonard's the star of the team, which is why he's not on Portland anymore. He might be an insane person who just wants to be the best player on, like, he wants to be Mitch Richmond.
Why would he have joined the Spurs if that was his issue? That makes no sense.
Maybe he's an insane person. They probably lied and said that, like, you could be the star, and then he drives around San Antonio and he sees, like, the HEB ads with Kawhi Leonard on them and not him, and he's sad.
I don't know if it was in the local ads in San Antonio, but you as a local San Antonian are obviously on top of that.
Sure.
All right, okay, so enough of the boring Memphis Grizzlies. Let's get to number 11, the Utah Jazz. All right, everybody's slurping these guys. Their over-under is 47.5, which is insane.
Slurping? That's disgusting.
Okay. Everybody is talking up the Utah Jazz. Their over-under is 47.5. To me, that's crazy. Rudy Gobert has not taken the expected jump. What was their biggest addition this season? Boris Diaw?
Boris wasn't really getting minutes for the Spurs last year. He's going to be...
Is he going to try hard in Utah?
He's going to be so bored in Utah. Yeah. He's going to be so checked out. He's going to be 400 pounds. Yeah. And he's going to be back on, like, the Spurs or the Warriors by
also,
April.
Doesn't there have to be, like, karmic payback for what they allowed Kobe to do in Game 82 last year? That was an abomination.
It really is.
It was a disgrace.
I mean, the Jazz are so unlikable, no matter who their coach is. I don't know why. There's just something about them. That being said, they have a lot of good players.
Yeah. Oh, they could win a playoff series.
Like, Hayward, Johnson, Favors, Gobert, D.L. Burks, Exum. Hood. Okay.
But can you agree with me that the fact that they have the seventh highest over-under in the league is ridiculous?
I think because they're not one player contingent, they're a safer bet. Like, one injury doesn't ruin them, even if it's, like, you know, a spot.
Yeah, well, they're a safer bet to win 40, but to win 48, which is what they need to win to get the over.
48's asking a lot, but they're just going to be a tough out every night.
Take all so of Kiva's kids' college funds, put them all on the under for the Utah Jazz.
Okay. That's what I think. Who's next?
All right, now number 10, we're in the top 10. The Atlanta Hawks, they lost two of their three stars. Dwight gets a lot of undeserved hate. To me, he's still a top 25 guy. We get to see if Schrader's the real deal. This team isn't great. I have them winning 45 games. But, you know, they're solid. They'll compete with Indiana and teams like that sort of in the middle of the playoff pack in the East.
I mean, to me, it's crazy, and it just shows you, like, East versus West, that this team could be above Utah. I mean, Utah, like, smokes this team at every position, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And Atlanta's really boring. They're always boring.
I mean, they're so boring. A starting lineup of Schroeder, Korver, Bazemore, Millsap, and Howard is so mediocre. Like, it's totally fine, but then they have nobody. There's no one else on this team.
But they're going to win 45 games in the East, right?
Oh, if this team wins can we switch, like, Minnesota and Utah to the East this year?
I mean, this year, we should have done it at any point in the last 20 years.
We can't retroactively switch anybody.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Number 9 on my list, the Indiana Pacers. The big question this year is, does Miles Turner take the big leap that we're hoping for? These guys.
Well, I'm not hoping. I want every other team to be bad except for my team.
Oh, all right. To me, Indiana is the Blazers of the East. They're definitely a playoff team. They're solid. I have them winning 46 games, but I think they're a little bit overhyped.
No, I agree. I mean. So Teague, Ellis, George, Thad Young, and Miles Turner is a really solid starting five. Al Jefferson could maybe give them something off the bench. But then where else, like, you know, who else is filling out the rotation? CJ Miles and Aaron Brooks. Similar to, you know, the Detroits and the Atlantas. Like, this team is just always bores me.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're boring. All right, number 8 then. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Definitely not boring.
No, not boring. It'll be fascinating to watch. Westbrook, obviously. I just worry he's going to burn himself out. He's slightly injury prone. Like, if he misses games, this team is going to be, like, wildly unwatchable. That being said, like, an Adams Cantor, you know, monster lineup that they went to, that they beat the Spurs and they gave the Warriors hell for 7 games. You know, like there's something to be said. Like Westbrook plus those two guys, they're going to cause havoc.
Yeah, to me, it's just so frustrating Durant left because I would have loved to see that team with Oladipo and Ilyasova. But as it is, they're slightly over 500. I have them at 46 wins. You know, they were over 500 when Durant missed most of 2015, and that was, you know, before they had Oladipo, obviously, who I really like Oladipo. They had Baby Sabonis. You know, we had an argument on the podcast over the summer, or maybe it was this, you know, after the last NBA season ended. We were talking about the preseason, our picks for the MVP for the NBA for the 2017 season. And I said, to me, the leader in the clubhouse is Russell Westbrook, and number two is Kevin Durant. I would take those two versus the field for MVP, and you disagreed with me.
No, well, I disagreed about Durant. I think Westbrook was my pick, no?
Oh, so we both have Westbrook.
Yeah, I think you're a liar. I think I picked Westbrook and you picked like someone on the Warriors.
No. You said that Durant had no chance.
No chance. I did that. I agree. I said Durant had no chance. Steve Kerr said himself. He said that they're gonna split the vote.
Yeah, well, I mean, Shaq and Kobe, you could say that, you know, or LeBron and Dwayne Wade, like, you could have two top three, top five players on a team, and one of them can still win MVP.
Yeah, but
if they win 70 games,
not
if they win 70 games and Kevin Durant scores 30 points a game, he will be a top three in the MVP vote, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so glad we agreed over there. Okay, so that's number 8. Number 7, also with 46 wins, according to me, and another team I think that is overrated, the Portland Trail Blazers. They won 44 last year. The bench got stronger. They added Evan Turner and Festus Ezeli. They still, to me, have the weakest front court of any contender, unless you're going to say that Mason Plumlee is going to be the guy that we saw in the first round of the playoffs last year. But, you know, obviously their backcourt is fantastic, and they have great depth now, but they don't really have anybody you really trust banging it down low. So, to me, 46 wins. This is a team that their ceiling is, what, 48 wins? 49 wins. This is not a team that can get to the Western Conference Finals.
No, and I think it's a team that's worse in the playoffs. Like, the Lillard-McCollum stuff is cute in the regular season, but once teams lock down in the playoffs, they're not getting anything from their front court, and they have nothing to trouble, you know, obviously Golden State, but even like a San Antonio or maybe even like an OKC.
Well, yeah, so they can get to the 4 seed in the West for sure. But they have no chance in the second round.
No, they're missing something that they may be able to get. They may be able to swing for, you know, a decent wing, like a small forward that's better than like an Evan Turner. But
yeah, even if we lived in a world where the Golden State Warriors did not exist.
Yeah.
No, nobody we've mentioned so far could be a championship team.
Concur.
Could be a finals team.
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, right. The Rockets with maybe minor tweaks, but I agree.
Okay. So we're getting closer. We're up to number 6. The Toronto Raptors, they won 56 last year, which is kind of crazy. You know, that's obviously their ceiling. There's no way they're going to be better than that. But nope. I still have them winning 50 games. The East is weak, so their over-under is 49.5. I think they'll be just right there.
Any chance Jonas, like, makes a little bit of a jump?
Well, he did take a jump the first couple playoff rounds. He was their only good player in the playoffs until he got injured, obviously, because Lowry and DeRozan were disasters. Jonas was a beast in the playoffs. And then obviously he got injured, and then Biombo looked really good and turned it into $72 million.
Yeah.
Jared Sullinger is already injured, who was supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't love the bench. The bench is an issue. Like, Corey Joseph is a totally fine backup point guard. I don't love the bench at all.
Terrence Ross is okay. Patrick Patterson's okay.
Patterson, isn't he starting?
Well, he's going to start right now because Sullinger's injured, but you know, presumably he'll be back on the bench. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a team, because you know the East is not very good. They'll be the 3 seed. They'll get 50 wins probably. This is not a team that can compete for a championship.
No, not at all.
All right, number 5. I have them at 54 wins. The Boston Celtics. They won 48 last year and they added Al Horford. So my only question about the Celtics is very simple. Last year, as I said, Toronto won 56. And the reason that's important is because it made Cleveland keep playing to get to 57. So what we want to see about Cleveland is, at what point can they just coast in the regular season? At what point can LeBron say, all right, we have the 1 seed wrapped up?
I think Cleveland is going to need, this is a year, even though LeBron skipped the Olympics, like he played the full season through June again. This is going to be a year where they're going to need Kyrie to carry the team for 3-4 weeks while LeBron sits with like a minor injury to rest him. I think that's coming now. I think LeBron 10-12 games.
My prediction hope for LeBron.
It's possible Boston gets the 1 seed if Cleveland doesn't play for it, which I think they shouldn't.
So my hope for Cleveland and LeBron is, and we'll get to them in a second, obviously, but LeBron still needs at least 2 more MVP caliber seasons. if he wants to get, you know, plus obviously more titles, if he wants to get into the MJ conversation. And he has not been the last 2 years in the regular season. He has not been in the MVP conversation. He's been like fourth or fifth or sixth, but he hasn't been one, two, or three. And part of that is because he hasn't had to try in the East. So I want to see Boston push to the mid-50s to high-50s to wins because I want to see LeBron play hard for 80 games, not just, you know, the last 25 games like he did last season, for example. Because I want to see, Michael Jordan every single season all the way, till he retired with the Bulls in 98, gave you 82 games of, best player in the league every single year. He didn't take time off in the regular season the way LeBron does.
Yeah, it's also worth pointing out that Horford is probably on a slight decline. It's possible that this could be his last, like, peak, season, but his numbers slipped a little bit last year. He didn't shoot well for the first time, basically, since his rookie season, where he's normally, like, a 55% shooter, and he only shot 50% from the floor. His rebounds.
He's never been like a top 15, top 20 guy. But the point is, he's a solid top 35.
Oh, obviously,
guy.
It was a great addition. Yeah, but yeah. But we're talking about a team that
the team maybe still has more moves to make. Also,
yeah. Thomas Bradley, Horford, Marcus Smart. I like everything they've done. Could this team be in the NBA Finals if LeBron or Kyrie get hurt?
Yeah, only if LeBron gets hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, no other scenario. All right, number four, a team that is locked into the threes. I mean, the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the West, you should just, you can etch those in stone today. There is no chance of any change. The LA Clippers, they're clearly a top 5 team, and they clearly have zero chance of winning a title, which has been the case for the last few years. They're locked into the third best spot in the conference, as I said. Even Blake Griffin missed half the year last year, and they won 53 games. So they're going to win a few more. I have them at 56 and 26. But again, what do you do with this team when you're a lock for top 5 and a lock for not, making it to the NBA Finals?
Well, it's the same problem that I'm sure the next team we're going to discuss, the Spurs, have, which is, there's nothing you can do because you're not going to upgrade on Paul Reddick, Blake, D'Andre. You're only going to, sort of tear down the team.
Yeah, but it's not the same as the Spurs because the Spurs have won multiple titles and have gone to the finals multiple times.
Right, yeah, but the Spurs are also resting on their laurels now. Like, they know they're not winning the title this year.
I mean, Chris Paul's never even made it past second round of the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, this could definitely be the year. They match up well with the Spurs if that's the second round.
All right, so they get the Western Conference Finals. Congrats. Yeah. Is that a successful season? I mean,
you have a super team. There's no reason to think that this team should make the NBA Finals. So,
but even absent the super team, this team has been locked into the
And I don't love the bench. I wish, for when the playoffs rolled around, they didn't rely on Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford still.
Yeah.
Retiring Pierce.
Yeah, they don't really have a lot on their bench. All right, so that's it. So we get to the only three teams that matter, much like last year.
No, Spurs don't matter. As much as I love them, they don't matter at all.
Okay. So here's the thing about the Spurs. I have them at 58 wins.
Yeah. They're going way under. They're going way under. They're going to win max 50 games this year.
50?
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, they're not even going to try to win 58 this year.
Well, they go over every year, so I'm going to continue to give it to them. Here's the thing. Gasol is obviously better than Duncan offensively, but way, way, way worse defensively. They lost Boris Diaw.
I mean, everyone's worse than Duncan defensively. There were a lot of metrics that had Duncan as the number one defender in the NBA last year.
They have no, front court depth whatsoever.
No, but none. They have four big men on the team, and two of them are David Lee and Dwayne Dedmon, which means
Dedmon's going to play.
Yeah. Oh, Dedmon's going to play a lot. And, Gasol's not playing 82 again. To me, this is signaling that the Spurs, who lead the charge in almost every way, are basically signaling we're cutting out the big men, and Kawhi's going to play some four, and Kyle Anderson or Davis.
Yeah, they're leading the charge. They got small ball. That's all about the San Antonio Spurs. No one else has done that. Yeah,
I mean, literally not even having big men on your roster other than stars. No more Hashim Thabeets. If you can't play, if you're not a starting level big man, you're out of the league.
Hashim Thabeets been out of the league for years. Already.
I'm just saying, there's no more project garbage, right. These guys were blockers.
Timothy Mozgov just signed for $64 million.
Okay, so with a team that's forward thinking or a team that's backwards thinking?
Bismack Biyombo got $72 million.
Again, did the Warriors give Bismack $72 million or a dummy give it?
Okay. Here's the thing. They won 67 last year. They're not going to win 11 fewer than last year.
Of course they are. Okay. Again, they lost the best defender in the NBA.
Oh my God.
They have no depth. They lost David West and they replaced Duncan, West, and Diaw with Pau Gasol. That's a terrible trade.
Yeah.
They didn't add anybody. I mean, Kyle Anderson is going to probably make a jump. Jonathan Simmons, who was not in the playoff rotation, will probably make his way in. You know, nobody in the NBA really has a guy like Patty Mills coming off the bench. You know, I mean, again, Mills and Ginobili and you know, maybe Kyle Anderson, if he's good, nobody has bench guys like that, but they just don't have the depth anymore. They also did something very unSpurs-like. They signed one of their,
You said nobody has a guy like Patty Mills off the bench. So now I'm going to list you a bunch of point guards coming off the bench who are in the conversation of Patty Mills, if not better than him. All right.
Okay. List them.
All right. Corey Joseph.
Again, the Spurs cut Corey Joseph because he's not as good as Patty Mills.
Okay. Marcus Smart.
Smart's an interesting player, but it's not fair to just call him a backup point guard. I mean, he's going to.
Chris Dunn.
Remains to be seen. Again, any of these guys.
Or Ricky Rubio, fine.
Right. If any of those guys make any sort of leap, they become the starter. It's not all like they're backing up Stephen Curry.
Michael Carter Williams.
He literally can't shoot. He sucks. There is Mario. No guy. We just went through every team in the NBA, unless the Warriors have someone I'm sleeping on. Like we know the Cavs don't have a backup point guard on the team, so it's not going to be them.
Sean Livingston was fantastic when Curry was injured in the playoffs.
Sean Livingston's a good player. He can't like carry a team to an Olympic medal like Patty Mills did. He can't. He couldn't. Patty Mills was incredible in the Olympics.
Well, okay, Brandon Knight on the 18-win Phoenix Suns.
Okay, I mean they're going to play all. He's going to start. They're going to play all three guards. No. And he's not even a point guard. He is.
All right. Patty Mills is good. He's not like a completely like sui generis. He's a good backup point guard. I'll give you that. All right. Okay. Let's get to the number two team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So as I was saying before, they won 57 last year and they had Toronto on their heels with 56. You don't think they're going to try for the one seed? I think they are. And again, my question, their over-under is 56.5. And to me, you're not betting on Cleveland. You're betting on Boston. Can Boston push them or can somebody else push them to try hard enough to keep that one seed in the East? I think Love is going to be better than he was last year. Kyrie will be better than he was last year. And again, I really want to see LeBron try for 82 games. I want, as a guy who loves history, I want to see him get another couple MVPs and compete with MJ. But it's up to the rest of the East. It's up to the Celtics or something.
I mean, I hate the construction of this team. It's insane that they still have
exact same team as last year. What do you hate the construction?
Jefferson, James Jones, like they couldn't improve on those guys?
No, they did not. It is the exact same team as last year, and that team won the title.
It's bananas that they. I mean, again, the Warriors added Kevin Durant.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to that. The number one team in the NBA, obviously, they won 73 last year, and then they added the second best player in the league. So there's really not a lot to say. I have them at 69-13, but that's just because whatever. If they're going to win 74, they're going to win 74. You know, they say that they're not going to try and get the title, the record, because they learned some kind of lesson from last year, which is idiotic. The fact that they lost, they blew a 3-1 series lead and lost the NBA Finals has nothing to do with the fact that they won 73 games in the regular season. Those are completely independent facts. Everybody hates them. Whatever. The NBA season is irrelevant because of the Golden State Warriors. Right?
I agree. Screw the Warriors. I hate them. It's Warriors over Cavs. I'm going to say the Warriors sweep the Cavs this year. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I mean, Warriors over Cavs. That's everybody's prediction, obviously. We will be back tomorrow. Hopefully, we will do some football.
No promises. We should have added at the top that we said we're going to do power ratings this week for the NFL. Yeah.
We're going to do that next week. Give it another week.
I agree.
Okay, well, we will be back hopefully tomorrow to discuss the garbage week 7 in the NFL and discuss week 8 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But that's our NBA preview.